Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Back in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. Nate Gary is your pre- and post-game host for the Buffalo Bills Radio Network, joining us now in the sports bar to break down a little bit of what we saw Thursday night against Indianapolis and look ahead to Friday night against Carolina. Nate, how are you?
Gentlemen, I'm very well. I hope all is well on your side. And heck, we are in the thick of actual football games. So regardless of what's going on in your personal life, it has to be at least a little okay right now.
Yeah, we got news every day to talk about. We've got our fantasy drafts coming up.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
We want to talk about Allen and what you saw Thursday night and your takeaways. But first, I didn't expect this. All these moves over the weekend between Mullen and Atcho. Any of these moves catch your eye, Nate? Any of these guys that the Bills brought in have a legitimate shot here to make the 53?
I consider the other side of things, addition by subtraction. He moves on from Vlad Dukas, and I do think that that is a great addition by subtraction. I thought the interesting trade between the Bills and Eagles, trading a guy like Eli Harold, who was really kind of buried on the depth chart at the defensive end position. Not only that, but I think everyone was kind of fresh off of watching Darryl Johnson just eat up NFL tackles, which just had to be such a great sign for the Bills front office, a seventh-round pick who was really kind of regarded as a complete unknown in college, coming on and really setting the table for a really interesting preseason to play out for him. So, yeah, I mean, I look at the addition by subtraction as they finally move on from a Vlad Dukas. And I think about this, and I think Russell Bodine's sort of the next guy down the line, and will these players be depth players elsewhere and on other teams? It's very likely. There are very few mid-level offensive linemen. In fact, most mid-level guys are starting. There's a big drop-off after that mid-level player at the offensive line position, so there's a good chance Vlad Dukas sticks on elsewhere, and probably the same for Russell Bodine, but it just kind of gives you an idea of the work that Brandon Bean did in the offseason to really turn around that offensive line group. I mean, two guys that were starters that were being relied upon for heavy, heavy work are now basically afterthoughts on the roster. That to me is a big indication that they've done the necessary work to put themselves in a good spot in terms of what they got up front.
Nate, the low-hanging fruit on Captain Munnerlyn joining the team is oh boy, the Bills going after another Carolina Panther. I mean, is it a negative or is it a positive? I view it as yes, it is kind of easy to say that they rely very much on that Carolina to Buffalo pipeline, but they're also bringing in guys who are familiar with their systems, who speak their language, and who know what Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott are all about.
And I think you can make an argument that, you know, there aren't too many of those Carolina guys other than, maybe a Star Latulele that they target in the offseason. These Carolina moves tend to happen, whether it's a midseason or a mid-training camp addition. What you want midway through training camp is when you bring a player in to at least have some sort of familiarity with the system being run. And I don't think you can look much further with familiarity than Captain Munnerlyn. And if you go on his Twitter account, he's got a picture in the background of his Twitter of him and Sean McDermott in their time together in Carolina. I think that Captain Munnerlyn really likes Sean McDermott. I think he had some of his best years when Sean McDermott was the defensive coordinator there. Is this a guy that's going to walk in and be your day one cornerback two starter? Probably not. But what he does provide is a level of depth that the team likely needed behind Levi Wallace and Kevin Johnson, right? And this is a guy that has the ability to play both in the slot and on the outside. Captain Munderland's a good pickup. I expect he makes the team out of training camp and provides a nice veteran presence for the cornerback group that, for the most part, is fairly young.
We're talking to Nate Geary. He is your pre- and post-game show host on the Bills Radio Network, which the Bills taking on Carolina Friday night. We'll have the pregame beginning at 5 o'clock. Nate, let's go back to Thursday. Josh Allen starting out 11 pass attempts right out of the gate. What did you think of Allen's first preseason game?
Love it. Brian Daboll coming out, slinging the rock. I was really, really happy to see that. That whole first drive, they didn't even hand the ball off. Second drive, they start with a handoff to Frank Gore and go right back to the well. And listen, I think for me, that's a really great sign that I think both the head coach and offensive coordinator have this understanding that to be a competitive football team, they're going to have to pass the ball with some of the best teams in the league. Even though they have a really good defense, there's going to be games where they're going to need to pass the ball to win and to stay in the football games. And I think the confidence that Brian Daboll's going to have throwing the football on early downs is going to be the guys they bring in and Cole Beasley. There was only a couple examples of it. I know Matt Parrino, New York Upstate, posted a GIF of one of the plays that the Cole Beasley's only reception, and I think it's a microcosm of what his season is going to look like. There's going to be a lot of those option routes underneath that give Josh Allen a security blanket to check things down. And I think from what we saw is that this team's going to be very willing to pass the football. What that share looks like at the end of the year, whether it's 60-40 run, pass run, 50-50 pass run, I'd like to see that ratio move closer to passing than I would running the football. So I like what I saw for the most part. Obviously, it's the first preseason game. The next 2 weeks, Carolina and Detroit, I'm really looking forward to seeing more of that, more of this willingness to throw the football. And less of this, let's just line up a nine formation and run this in the back of our offensive lineman. Having said that, I don't think they'd mind doing that on the right side of the line the way that Cody Ford and Kyan Secchi looked on Thursday night, that's for sure.
Nate, a lot of analysts have broken apart the film from Allen's performance on Thursday night. I saw Brian Baldinger's piece on it earlier today, and one of the things that I found most encouraging was, and Baldinger pointing it out, Allen checking at the line, checking out of a play, reading a pre-snap D. One of his knocks coming out of college was that he didn't have that ability. It shows to a new level of comfort he has in this system. And by the way, the play executed worked, and it got him a first down. So, talk a little bit about that and how he has been able to grow over the course of the offseason into the preseason, what we saw on Thursday night as far as Allen checking out of plays and reading the D's, reading the defense's pre-snap.
I think it goes into a little bit of the whole evaluation process in general, guys. Like, part of this, I think a really good example of it is Devin Singletary, right? Like, the knock against Devin Singletary is he's not a guy that's going to go and catch passes. He's not a guy that's going to come out of the backfield and be a legitimate threat in the passing game. Well, that's just because he had four receptions last season under Lane Kiffin. It's not that he couldn't. It's that he wasn't asked to. And the same thing with Josh Allen here is people, the knock against him as well, he didn't make changes at the line of scrimmage. He didn't have the final say on in his offense, and let's use that as a negative. And I say, well, just because he wasn't asked to do it doesn't mean he doesn't have the capability, or maybe even doesn't thrive in that scenario. I think one of the things a lot of people left impressed with Josh Allen when they had their pre-draft interviews, and Brian Baldinger has been on note as saying that as much. So with Josh Allen, people really liked his recall ability. When he got to the whiteboard, the grease board, they were really impressed by what Josh Allen was able to both recall and identify at the line of scrimmage, quote unquote, right? Not the real line of scrimmage, but being able to kind of off the cuff, be able to sort of either identify coverages, identify defenses, but put them into better plays. And so he showed that ability. And to be quite honest, guys, he's got the leg up on his other rookie, second year quarterback, in that class of last year, because he's the only quarterback with their offensive coordinator returning. So he's got an innate understanding of what Brian Daboll's trying to do, and you could make the argument that he's ahead of schedule compared to the rest of his quarterback class last year.
Nate, I love how you lay out the argument or argument against people that scoff at the idea, well, if Josh Allen's just average this year, Nate, when was the last time we had somebody who was average? And wouldn't average be definition 15th, say, in the league? I mean, we're not talking about somebody that's going to pop into the top 10, but I think if you were going to tell me right now Josh Allen statistically was 15th in the league, I think I would sign up for that, and I think that the Bills, you know, barring injuries and everything else, would be at least in the conversation deep into the month of December.
Yeah, and I get the argument from some of the analytics community, the guys that really dive into the DVOA and the efficiency numbers of a quarterback to tell you how good they really are. But I think that doesn't quite capture what it is we're really talking about with Josh Allen. Because I think if you end up in both yards, touchdowns, and interceptions, smack dab in the middle of the league, let's use that 15th rank, right? The efficiency numbers just through osmosis are going to be middle of the pack. If their yards and touchdowns, and let's say just kind of throw completion percentage out the window for a moment, but let's say yards and touchdowns are 15th in the league. You really don't think the efficiency numbers are going to be close to that? Like, it would be very difficult for a quarterback to go out and throw for 3,800 yards and 25 touchdowns and not be fairly efficient doing so. It's kind of difficult to do that. It would be what we'd call an incredible anomaly if Josh Allen was able to go out and put those numbers up and still have 30 interceptions. That means they're throwing the ball a whole heck of a lot. So in terms of what the word average means, and I think that's really what people are arguing, is they're done looking at average, and they bring up, well, they had average in Tyrod Taylor. Why not just keep Tyrod if average is your breaking point? And that's a whole other conversation, right? But I think that people just have this misunderstanding of what exactly average quarterback play looks like. And to be honest with you, I think you look at the three peak years of Ryan Fitzpatrick in terms of being average numbers. And for a lot of people, it's like, well, why would we want Ryan Fitzpatrick numbers for Josh Allen? And my argument, it's his first full season as a starter. If we could figure out a way to get Josh Allen right around that 4,000-yard number, 25, 27 touchdowns, 15, 16 interceptions, on top of what this guy's going to provide on the ground as a runner, I would be absolutely shocked if you didn't find a lot of happy people in terms of Bills fans around the league. And not only that, but some of the people that were very critical of Josh Allen, I think, would be singing a far different tune if he ended the season with passing numbers like that. Partly, or I think maybe most importantly, if he does that, they're going to be a team that is absolutely past the in-the-hunt conversation with, you know, 8 wins in mid-December. This is going to be a team that might push for double-digit wins if they have a quarterback who's throwing for that type of yardage. So, yeah, you know, I just think what it comes down to is a misunderstanding of what average is, because Tyrod Taylor in his time here, although you could argue average, this is a player that never threw more than 20 touchdowns in a season and, you know, for the most part, never had 16 games in a season. So I think when you're thinking about a benchmark for Josh Allen, you have to remember that this player does not have a full season of starts under his belt yet. And when he does, if he could be at that average number, be at Mitchell Trubisky level,
that's it.
Then we can talk about year three, that step, right? That step two. And how many players in the Bills right now are going into year three with big question marks? Tre'Davious White, Deion Dawkins, right? Matt Milano. These are players that are thought to be able to, anyway, step into an elite category. Well, you don't realize that eliteness or their ability to be elite until you get into that third season. So let's see where we are with Josh Allen at the end of the season. But I think in terms of being average, that is just fine, and that's going to put the Bills in a really good position.
Yeah, for me, the safe expectation, you mentioned Trubisky, it's 3,400 yards, 24 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. If he can do anything like that, then the Bills are going to be just fine because of Josh Allen's production. Nate, I wanted to shift gears and talk about the defense for a little bit, because they certainly look dominant given their time on the field Thursday, and that's without many of their starters, many of their first-teamers out there. Just paint with broad strokes here on the Buffalo Bills defense heading into Friday night.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that unit. And you know, I don't know many other teams in the league right now that could withstand some of the injury issues, especially at the offensive line that the Bills have had. And obviously they go into last week's game with no Micah Hyde, no Jerry Hughes, no Lorenzo Alexander. Three really important pieces of that defense. And man, they didn't even miss a beat. They couldn't have looked more comfortable as a unit out there. And I think that speaks a lot to Brandon Bean and what he's been able to do in this offseason. But I think it speaks a lot to Leslie Frazier and a guy that we simply don't talk to about enough because of some of the streaks this team has gone on the last 2 years, a 4 or 5 game stretch where they just look bottom of the barrel and then they're elite the rest of the way. So I think because of that we have a tendency to not talk about Leslie Frazier enough as one of the best defensive coordinators in football. But this defense, in terms of scheme, in terms of depth, in terms of top-end talent, really has it all, other than maybe a marquee, legitimate, you know, hand-in-the-dirt top-five pass rusher. Maybe they're lacking that. But you know what they're not lacking to me is depth at that position. Now with the Darryl Johnson, their seventh-round pick, who really looks like he's going to be a type of football player that you can rely on in a depth role to come in and specialize pass rushing downs. Man, he's long, he's athletic, he's got great bend. I'm really excited about him. Interior, you know, what a great test for Ed Oliver in his first ever NFL action, going up against what I believe is the best premier guard in all of football, and Quentin Nelson, the Big Q. What a great test it was for him. I suspect that games like this will continue making Ed Oliver better, so I look forward to that. But yeah, this defense is the real deal, guys. I think, to be honest with you, sky's the limit. I think if you told me they end the season in second or third place in every major defensive category, I don't know that I'd call you crazy.
Yeah, Dave, we've got 3 preseason games here to go before the Jets, and I'm sure we'll have you on before the Jets. But, I mean, what do you make of their situation down there, decimated at corner? Your thoughts on week one going down to the Meadowlands as things stand right now, Nate? How do you like the Bills' chances?
Yeah, the one thing that couldn't happen to the Jets has happened a few times, right? So Tremaine Johnson, their only legitimate talent at the cornerback position, goes down to a week-to-week hamstring injury. That's huge for them. And I think that's a big, big thing for them, is what they're missing defensively is no one's really questioning what they have on the inside within the box of that defense. Their defensive tackle situation with Leonard Williams and Quinnen Williams might be one of your best young 1-2 punches in all of football. In the middle, Avery Williamson and C.J. Mosley, 2 really nice players at the middle linebacker position. And then the safeties, right? You have Marcus May and Jamal Adams, and holy cow, that is it. And otherwise, they're in a world of hurt on the outside, and that's where teams are going to try to beat this Jets team. And I think in week one, you don't really have a better scenario situation for the Bills to start off in terms of strengths versus weaknesses than the New York Jets. You could make an argument right now that the interior of the Bills' offensive line, as long as everyone's healthy, should be a strength for this football team. That's the strength of the Jets. So if you neutralize that, man, they could beat this team to the outside throwing the football. That could be a really interesting game. And then you're asking Sam Darnold to throw the ball 35, 40 times against a Bills defense that's licking their lips. I like the matchup in terms of what they can do well, but more importantly, what they can't do well and what the Bills do well.
Nate, you're gracious with your time as always. We appreciate you carving out some for us here in the sports bar. We look forward to the call on Friday. Enjoy the rest of your day, brother.
Thanks, gentlemen. Enjoy the rest of yours, and we'll be talking soon.
You got it. Nate Gary, who is your pre- and post-game host for the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. He'll be back Friday, 5 o'clock. Pre-game gets underway here at ESPN Rochester.
Yeah, so Alan, where we're expecting great, great things. You know, Thursday night wasn't bad, okay? You look back at it, and they were trying some things, throwing the ball around, and Zay Jones dropping a ball on the goal line in the end zone. That doesn't help exactly there. So coming up Friday night, 5 o'clock for the pregame, Bills and Panthers coming up for preseason game 2.
I'll drink to that is on the way next in the sports bar. Takes on tap.
Oh, danger. I jumped the gun here. Sorry. Be mad at me, everybody. Yes, you want to talk about breaking down preseason game number 2? I think it's ahead to look at week 1. I started this tradition last year. I'm going to go ahead as we look ahead, because it is time we start thinking about who do we like for Survivor Pool Football. So in each day, we're going to talk about one game on the week 1 schedule. And I'm telling you, the way things stand right now, this is the public overreacting to something silly. This is easy money. I don't think it's a game we'll take for Survivor Pool Football, but there's one game right now with the point spread that I guarantee it is going to go the other direction when we get closer. I'll explain.
Gene, did you spend any time over the weekend watching Premier League Soccer?
I was going to hit the other button there. It says Francesa on it.
Oh, who cares?
Thank you. No, I didn't.
Well, I did.
Of course
and,
you did.
And
oh, I loved it.
I have a take I would like to share about Premier League Soccer.
Great. I'm sure people are going to be glued.
Well, listen, I find more and more that people are more enraged by my non-sports takes. So I have one of those as well today. A non-sports take to share that has everything to do with the season that we are in right now, the month of August, and back to school season. We'll get to that. I'll drink to that is on the way next. Takes on tap in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia, ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader. ESPN Rochester.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.